Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the title of the show is English Defence League radio show 2020, second stage. And there's more to that. As we progress, we will explain more. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host Jeff, Spider Mitchell, and my wingman this evening is Dave Agador Milner. Tonight we'll be discussing headlines of the week as we continue to clear out the rubbish from 2019. The death cult of Islam and its cowardly allies have started 2020 with a bang. But freedom fighters across the planet are ready to answer their bang with a boom. Make no mistake, this is the year for patriots. And they will stand forth to share the truth and vanquish the satanic tide. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And that was by the late great Edmund Burke. And those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And of course, that was by the late great President John F. Kennedy. God bless him. And with that, let me bring in my colleague, my wingman, my dear friend, Dave, all the way from the USA. That was good, that. All the way from the USA, Dave. I'm a poet, I didn't know it. Good, Dave, back in.
Good evening, Jeff. Good evening to everybody.
Good evening,
in the UK.
My dear friend.
And a good afternoon to everybody in the States and hello to everyone around the world and, of course, off Earth. Yes, we've got a big, big show. But also, we have a show note. For those of you who are interested in the Iran situation, which we will be talking about a bit later, by the way, we have secured a guest in Carmel Melamed, who is an independent journalist and who has written for the Jerusalem Post and for other news publications and things of that nature, and has been interviewed a little bit here recently for obvious reasons. This is a man with a great deal of experience with how things are going on the ground in Iran, great deal of background. You're going to want to tune in or log in on Thursday, all right? And we're going to have him on our show, yeah. And he's going to do a little bit of talking
about
it. It
was great. The last time around, we gained so much information from this great gentleman, didn't we, Dave? It was a wonderful, it wasn't so much, it was a slight interview, come getting to know exactly the facts on the ground and now what's going on in Iran at this moment in time. So, we've heard lots of things that's been going this week. There's been lots of things that's been going on. I mean, now the Iranians have put their hands up, said that was them that shot down that Ukraine 737. Was it 735 or 737? 737? All people, 156 people on board died. But this is the first time that they've actually put their hands up. They lie. But the evidence was so overwhelming from different sources, not just from yourselves, Dave, but ourselves, the United Kingdom. We've got our satellites up there and everything, haven't we? And other sources. They couldn't, there's no way out from it. They had to come be truthful about it and, and take the full blame for it. I don't know why. Why would you let planes fly in a war zone anyway? What was the thinking behind these people to let the plane fly anyway, Dave? Let's be honest, mate. But yeah, it'd be great for that great gentleman to be back. We said a little while ago it'd be nice to have you back. And with what's been going on, my goodness, is it the right gentleman to join us, Dave, next week, eh?
Absolutely, Jeff, yeah. He is absolutely the correct guest for us to have. And as he has indicated, and I'm sure that this is the case, people are not getting the straight story about what's going on in Iran from the fake stream media. And again, are we surprised, just like last year, when they said that the protests against, the demonstrations rather, I should say, against the Iranian regime, the mullahs and people like that, but were about gas prices. You know, Carmel came in and set people straight about that. It was a really great show.
Yeah.
In fact, it was one of the, it was the last archive show that we put in, the last encore show that we put in while we were on holiday. So you guys could hear it again.
Yeah.
It was very well received when it was live. So guys, yeah, do tune in on Thursday at 8:30 p.m. of course in the UK, and at 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States. And we'll wind everybody up and get them ready, and bring Carmel on. He'll be calling in from his place, and we'll do some you'll get some real talk on Iran, stuff that you won't get many other places, because this guy knows where it's at.
Are we getting
Jeff,
a feel, Dave? I'm getting a feel that we're seeing the beginning of the end of that Iranian regime. Are you getting that feeling, Dave? I'm getting that feeling. I'm just starting to feel something there. It's the bloodshed that's been spilled. And I think this is, it's their time is coming to an end, these mad mullahs. I really do believe it now, Dave. So much pressure on them now. And to see them blink during that confrontation with the United States, that was seeing them blink. And I didn't think I'd see that, but we saw them blink, Dave, when they... Basically, they could have hit anything they wanted to, but it seemed that there was no one hurt during the strikes, and there was about 12 missiles, wasn't it, Dave? 12 missiles, but no one was hurt. And your president then decided that it's quite obvious that they blinked, and there was no more confrontation between the United States. In fact, the Iranians have stood down. That's the way it came across. And actually, it's said like that with the first communique from them, saying we've done our, you know, what we had to do, and that's it. Basically, you know. So I thought, thank goodness, because you could see something like that, a tit for tat, couldn't you, Dave? Before you know it, there's a few more things going on, and then you get it just getting worse. And this is how a war develops, isn't it? But we did see level heads there and some serious thinking that they didn't want to mess with your president, because he was about annihilation. Look, you know, you kill any Americans, that's it. You step over that red line, I'm not your Obama. You stand a bit further over red line. No. You know, this is it. So I really look forward to listening to Carmel back discussing what's been going on, because it's been a little while, and it's been so much. And I'm sure he can fill us in a lot more details, eh, Dave?
Yeah, Jeff, that's true. And you know, I guess since we're into that now, we might as well go ahead with that as our first story. The UK listeners, there will be a UK story that you do need to hear, and others a bit later. But for right now, since we seem to be into this, we're going to go ahead with it. I've got one here from the AP, and this one here is by Nasser Karimi and Joseph Krauss. Okay, this is from the 10th, guys, a couple of days ago. And as Jeff said, under pressure, Iran admits it shot down jetliner, as they say, by mistake. And there's a point to this, because I know you guys have heard all of this before in some of the other news shows and things of that nature. but this is fairly new stuff that hasn't been commented on by a lot of people who normally air their stuff during the week. I'm just going to read a bit of this. In the face of mounting evidence, Iran on Saturday acknowledged that it shot down the Ukrainian jetliner, quote-unquote, by accident, killing all 176 people aboard.
Oh,
the mission.
Sorry, Dave. I got my figures wrong. It was 176. My apologies, brother.
Right. To continue, the admission by Iran's Revolutionary Guard undermined the credibility of information provided by senior officials who, for 3 days, had adamantly dismissed allegations of a missile strike as Western propaganda. Okay? And this is how they do, guys. You know, they... like all Mohammedans, when something comes up that they need to own up to and it's not pleasant, they just lie about it. And of course, we still have some of our people. Yeah, we still have some of our people here in the West that are trying to support that, which is kind of pathetic. I'm going to go ahead and just kind of skip through this article. Well, okay, we'll try this here. It also raised a host of new questions, such as why, and Jeff, you brought this up, Iran did not shut down its international airport or airspace on Wednesday when it was bracing for the U.S. to retaliate for a ballistic missile attack on two military bases housing U.S. troops in Iraq. No one was hurt in that attack, carried out in retaliation for the killing of Iranian General Queasy Salami. I'm not going to bother saying the guy's name, right? He was a terrorist. In an American airstrike in Baghdad. All right? Now, skip down here a little bit. Basically, what they're saying here, guys, is what Iran is saying. Is that this was a reaction from people in the military because they felt like they were being bullied by the United States. That's basically what they said. They've also said that they're going to hold an investigation and they're going to punish the people responsible. They may well have a show trial, and some poor schmuck may well get his head cut off. All right, but it really doesn't and shouldn't deflect anyone from understanding who and what this regime is. All right, it is a terrorist breeder reactor in a way. All right, it's a group of terrorists. That's how they started out in 1979. A group of terrorists who are breeding more terrorists and funding terrorists. That's what they do, and they do this all over the planet. Now, every continent, except perhaps for Antarctica, has terrorist elements on it that are being funded, if not funded and trained, by Iran. So their excuse for shooting down a jetliner filled with 176 innocent people, one of them an American student, by the way, is that they were nervous because they thought that the United States were bullies. And that made one of their military people overreact with their air defense net. Okay, now, Jeff, here's my big question about this. Okay. We know that Iran has been pursuing a nuclear weapon for a long time, years, decades, actually. So here's my question, and this is for everybody who thinks that they should have a nuclear weapon. Okay, if they can't even be trusted to properly use an air defense system, why in the hell does anybody think that they can be trusted to operate or to even house or have nuclear weapons? Got an answer for that one, Jeff?
Very dangerous, isn't it? You know, it's like giving a child a box of matches and he's in a room full of paper. You know what I mean? That is a similar sort of thing there. There's no way, and I think that's what your president says. He comes out, and I see the serious look on his face, and he said, "This one thing that will never happen is Iran will never, on my, you know, all the time I'm the president, they'll never have a nuclear weapon." And that was the first thing, it was an underlying thing. And you think, he means it. If anything, yes, they will take out their nuclear whatever, all the things around it. So, he means it. He had the full weight of the military there, who was standing beside him, because this was solemn, and at the same time, also, relaying back to the world that there is peace in our times, but, you know, there's certain things that this other people must align to. No nuclear weapons, for a start. And then we can maybe, we'll have a chat about future. You know what I mean? That is it. That's what normal countries do. And that's what he said, this is what normal countries do. And I think he put that, he done it very elegant. I've got to admit the way he actually expressed himself about the whole thing. He didn't take no questions. He said what he had to say. He made that main statement, which was very solemn. And he turned around and walked out. You know what I liked about that whole thing? As the doors opened, Dave, it was like a beacon of light shining through. Did you see that, Dave? Was you the same? It was like a beacon of light, and in walked your president. And on the way out, the same thing, that beacon of light, and your president walked out the doors, and the doors closed behind him. And that was, I'll never forget that, Dave. But anyway, very interesting times we live, mate, very interesting.
Well, the question, you know, I didn't see any light, Jeff, but the question that I also have here is why is Iran allowed to have any nuclear capability at all? Right now they've got, reportedly, enough centrifuges to produce nuclear fuel for reactors, for reactors to produce electricity. They don't need that. They're sitting on top of all sorts of oil. Okay, they can have oil-fired electric plants and serve their needs for who knows how many years in the future. This is not something that they need to have. This country does not need to have anything that can produce nuclear fuel, because it's just too much of a temptation for them to set up more centrifuges so they can cook that stuff down enough to where it becomes weapons grade. And at that point, again, you're talking about Mohammedans with violent tendencies anyway towards anybody that's not a Mohammedan, and even towards anybody that's not their flavor of Mohammedan. Remember the Iran-Iraq war? Yeah. I could definitely see some future mullah ginning up the people. Well, ginning up his own regime, not necessarily the people. We know the people just about had enough. But ginning up his own regime and saying, yes, we will finally defeat Iraq, and attacking them with nuclear weapons. I mean, I could actually see that. So my thing about this is,
well, it's
that
always,
a country
the
like,
thing is, Dave, it's always been death to America and death to Israel. I mean, even when the money was handed over from Obama, it was still death to America, death to Israel. They can't be afforded to have anything nuclear. It's too dangerous. They're a rogue nation, and they should be treated just the same as we treat North Korea and any of the rogue states. Am I right, Dave?
Yeah, well, as I was trying to say here. Okay, yeah. Well, as I was trying to say here, all right, my thing is that, as you pointed out, Jeff, they're a rogue nation. They do not have responsible leadership right now, and that kind of technology needs to be kept away from them. All right. Now, if they straighten themselves out, as you said, if they stop allowing Islam to guide how they rule their people, and if they stop becoming a terrorist enabling state sometime in the future, and that continues for a certain number of decades, not a certain number of years, okay, then yes, there might be time for a conversation at that point about possibly allowing them nuclear power. But in this world, I think
it's going to be a total different time. This isn't a time for them to be allowed to have anything like that, because you cannot take them for their word. They lie. They tried to lie about that plane coming down for 3 days until the evidence was overwhelming that they had to actually put their hands up to it. You know, so trust them as far as you can throw them, guys. Like we've always said, trust them with contempt. The Persian people themselves, the Iranians, are lovely people. It's just these crazy mad mullahs with this Islam ideology that's creating havoc throughout the world. And we've seen what they've done across the Middle East, haven't we, Dave? Back to you, bro.
Yeah, to actually finish the point I was trying to make, yeah. We could do that as far as talking to them a few years down the road once they get rid of the influence of Islam. But for now, no. For now, they've got their oil. They can power their country off of that. And hey, when they choose to join the civilized world, we can have another conversation. Now, Jeff, I'm going to turn things over to a different topic here. As people are aware, the English Defense League is going from its 10th year in 2020 to its 11th year. Right? And one of the main focuses of the English Defense League has been the protection of the children of the United Kingdom from these Mohammedan sex gangs. All right. And it has to be said that even though Boris Johnson was elected PM and the parliament is something that's somewhat a little bit better than it was before, the problems that are with us and have been with us are still with us in the UK and around the world. They're here. It's going on here in the United States too, people. Make no mistake. I'm going to run this, Jeff, from Breitbart. That was dated on the 31st of last year, okay? And this has some significant figures, and you're going to hear from some significant people. So, Jeff, if you're ready, I'm going to roll this. This will be 3 minutes and 54 seconds. Ready?
Yeah, go for it, Dave.
All right, here we go. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Grooming gang epidemic, nearly 19,000 children sexually exploited in the UK last year. By Kurt Sindelka on December 31, 2019. The scourge of sexual exploitation of children has reached epidemic levels in the United Kingdom, as nearly 19,000 children were sexually groomed over the past year. Local authorities have reported over 18,700 suspected victims of child sexual exploitation at the hands of grooming gangs between 2018-19, more than 5 times higher than the 3,300 reported cases just 5 years ago. Sammy Woodhouse, a victim of the Rotherham rapist Rashid Hussain, said that the authorities have not implemented meaningful changes in combating the crisis. "You hear this bullshit line, lessons have been learned, but they haven't learned anything," she told The Independent. "I still hear a lot about the authorities aren't doing things as they should. It's not very often I hear something good, and for all different reasons. If the police won't act on reports, people feel they're not being listened to or supported properly, or information not being shared, she added. I've said for years that this country's an epidemic when it comes to abuse and exploitation. Authorities claim it's under control, but it's not, Woodhouse concluded. Lancashire was the locality hit the hardest last year, with a total of 624 suspected victims, followed by Birmingham with 490, 447 in Surrey, 414 in Bradford, and 409 in Gloucestershire. Thousands of more cases of abuse have been discovered across the country over the past decade, especially as the scandals of predominantly Pakistani male child rape gangs have been exposed. The Labour MP for Rotherham, Sarah Champion, said that the figures demonstrate that grooming remains one of the largest forms of child abuse in the country. The government has singularly failed to tackle this issue head-on. Its approach has been piecemeal and underfunded, she said. The Home Office has allocated £7 million to support survivors of child sex abuse for 2019-20 and has set up investigations into the institutional responses to the scandals in Rotherham and Norfolk, with a series of public hearings expected in the spring of 2020. The Home Office is committed to tackling child sexual abuse and will leave no stone unturned in tackling this abhorrent behavior, a spokesperson said. This is why we launched the independent inquiry into child sexual abuse to get to the truth, expose what has gone wrong, and learn lessons for the future. The inquiry operates independently of government and, within its terms of reference, decides for itself what it investigates, the spokesperson added. Earlier this month, Breitbart London reported that 16 men of South Asian descent, including a police officer, were charged in connection to grooming crimes allegedly committed against three teenage girls in Halifax, England. The following day, an additional four men of South Asian origin were convicted of sexually exploiting children during the early 2000s in Telford, England. In 2018, then Home Secretary Sajid Javid launched an inquiry into the ethnic origins of members of grooming gangs in the UK. Speaking to the BBC in December, Javid determined that the majority of perpetrators were of Pakistani origin. When it comes to gang-based child exploitation, it is self-evident to anyone who cares to look that if you look at all the recent high-profile cases, there is a high proportion of men that have Pakistani heritage, Javid said. There could be, I'm not saying that there are, there could be some cultural reasons from the communities that these men came from that could lead to this kind of behavior, he added. Follow Kurt on Twitter at @KurtZindelka.
Welcome back to the Ingrid Spencing Radio Show with y'all's Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think of that report?
Well, it was bang on. It was what we've always said. I mean, it still goes on. From one year to another, it's not getting better. That's the trouble. That's the reason why we're here week in, week out, isn't it, Dave? They're still in denial over it. They try to hide it. I mean, look what happens when you expose it. You get thrown in prison. Ask Tommy Robinson about exposing these gangs, these grooming gangs. See what happens to him. And it's been the same old story, you know. From one year into another, isn't it, Dave? And we that's what I'm saying. We talk week in, week out about the issues with these jihad gangs out there, don't we, Dave? Week in, week out. Very interesting. Now, I like that. What you played there, brother. And just to let you know, we've got We Think Freely, and I think it's Joss from WBBN. Oh, his radio show. I think that's who we got in the chat room, Dave, just let you know. Back to you. Just get me breath, Dave.
All right. Well, Jeff, first of all, welcome, Joss. Appreciate you, man. And just to let people know, you can be in the chat room as well. Just go to blogtalkradio.com during our regular show times and log in. And look for English Defense League Radio. You can find that using the search box, which is at the top center of the screen, the white search box, and follow the links, and you'll eventually get to our show, and then you can get into the chat as long as you're logged in. So please come and join us. Everyone is always welcome, and certainly people will be welcome on Thursday when Carmel Milimed comes to speak with us. And Jeff, the thing that got me from that report, the very interesting thing, was Sajid Javid actually pointing out that it was Pakistanis. And we do know that this is the primary source of these sex gangs are Pakistanis. We've had guests on that have spoken about that before, and just all sorts of material out there about that. Okay, despite the story calling them men of South Asian descent, that's BS. They're Muslims. Okay, let's just be real about it. But you also heard Javed prevaricating, saying, oh, well, there has to be something cultural about these communities that they come from. Yeah, there is. It's called Islam. That is the source. That's the source from where this stuff comes. And something has to be done about it. If nothing else, the UK government, and this is something that not only needs to happen in your country, but needs to happen in the States and all over the world. Our governments need to make sure that the playing field is leveled when it comes to law enforcement and sentencing and things of that nature. We need to make sure that everyone understands that these crimes are unacceptable in any civilized nation. And anyone who participates in them is not going to get maybe 2 or 3 years and then get out to do the same thing all over again and make this a generational thing like it's become in the UK, but that they're going to be heavily punished for it, and there should be other consequences involved in law enforcement. And no, being a Mohammedan should not be a mitigating circumstance. If the ideology of Islam is that toxic, then it needs to be adjusted for civilized nations. That's my opinion. That's not the EDL. That's the Unpleasant Blind Guy, Dave Milner, the Unpleasant Blind Guy. That's my opinion. All right. There's a lot of work to be done. And,
there's a hell of a lot of work got to be done, Dave. Unfortunately, we've been saying it for now, going on for 11 years. 11 years. The EDL's been speaking about these issues. It seems like 11 years, and look how many kids are still being groomed and raped and God knows what else out there. Probably as we talk, ladies and gentlemen, even as we talk tonight, there's some poor kid out there. Dave, it sends a nightmare scenario picture through my mind to think of the plight of some of these poor kids, man. Doesn't it, you, Dave? And it really gets you when you think about what they've with some of these poor kids. That while we're talking now, what we're just saying is now, that this could be happening right now to some poor kid somewhere. Unbelievable, man.
But it probably is, Jeff. That's the bad part about it. It probably is. And just like we said on Sunday, political correctness is what's behind it all, and an unwillingness to recognize certain ideologies as being, as I said before, toxic, regardless of whether or not these ideologies cloak themselves in religion, as Islam has. That is the thing. Now, we all had good celebrations after the UK elections. I mean, it was really an uplifting moment, and it could signal good times to come.
It was a punch the air moment, wouldn't it, Dave? A punch the air moment. Get in there. You know, it was that sort
Yeah, it was. It was that sort of a moment. It was really good, especially for the people of the United Kingdom, and even looking in from over here in the States, you know, certainly. We loved seeing it over here. you know, but now, as we had our show title the very next time we had a show, now the real work begins, and the real work is going to have to begin. The government is going to have to square up to this problem while it still can. Right now, the estimates are that the UK population is about 5 to 6% Mohammedans, okay, and let's stretch it to 7 if you want, okay, but that's still a small population. It's enough of a population to deal with if this government is willing to square up to that, and if they're willing to tell people who call them, first of all, racists, Islam is not a race. That needs to be the first thing out of their mouths, and they need to be willing to say, listen, we're trying to protect our own people here, okay? And political correctness is going to have to go by the wayside until we can get this situation taken care of. That's how I see it, and I see it not only for the UK, but I see it for the States as well. Because
what you said there, Dave, I was nodding my head in total agreement with every word you said there, because I think that's how most of us feel. We need to do away with political correctness, and I think Joss, who's listening in, would agree. We often talk about that sort of thing, political correctness. And Joss goes, I mean, he does his radio show. It's the first time I heard him going on one last night. But these things absolutely send you crazy, because you know that the government should be doing much better for the people and stop lying about situations. We're fed up with the lies, you know, with this political correct thing. I mean, there's a law for one and a law for us all. It doesn't mean one law for us and then, oh, we'll try and work something out for the other ones out there. It might be a little bit better for you, because you are the chosen ones. Do you know what I'm saying? And that is the way it is. And that's the way it's got to stop. We're fed up with people like ourselves who love the country, who's patriotic, being thrown into prison for speaking out. People like Bass Davey and Tommy Robinson, many others. You know, this is it. You speak out against these things, they want to throw you in prison. But all it is highlighting the situation. They're not doing themselves any favours, are they, Dave? They're highlighting the situation. But anyway, that's just me.
Right, yeah. Now, as I was saying, for my American brothers and sisters, don't think this is something that's just going on in the UK. I can guarantee that there are Mohammedan sex gangs operating right now in the United States. And this is something that we can get control of, but we need to do it. This is why this is the year for patriots. Okay, we have, there are certain governments in place now in the UK and Europe. You know, I'm thinking about, of course, you know, Salvini in Italy and things of that nature. Okay, this is the time for the people to begin pressuring them to actually begin taking some concrete action. Like, for instance, okay, Jeff, let me give you a for instance. the mosques, okay? Over in the UK, the police have to inform the imam before they go in and inspect a mosque. They can't bring sniffer dogs in. They have to, you know, of course, take off their boots, I guess you'd say, before they go in. All this nonsense, that's something that needs to stop. Jack Alexander, who runs a show, the Jack Alexander Experiment, which is part of SHR Media, was speaking to BZ, BZ's Berserk Bobcat Saloon, which you guys can also hear on SHR Media. Check shrmedia.com for showtimes on that. He was talking about the gun problem in Australia. And no, the gun problem in Australia isn't that Australians, the Australian people, have guns. Those have been taken away, but gun crime has gone up. And why has gun crime gone up? It's because of the black market in firearms that has been produced because people can't own legal firearms in Australia anymore. And Jeff, I'm just going to relate to you one incident that Jack Alexander talked about. There was a they busted an Islamist in Australia who had been importing Glock pistols, some of which had been modified for full auto operation. Okay, now when he was talking about that, I was saying in BZ's chat room, yeah, there are some pretty good knockoffs out there of Glocks, and I'm sure those are pretty easy to get. No. What happened was that this Islamist actually was able to use connections in Europe and import real Glocks from Austria. Okay? These mosques are storage places for things like illegal firearms and God knows what all. Okay? And they're all over the place. They have bedrooms and things of that nature where people can sleep in case there may be a time when Mohammedans are running from the law. They can dip into a mosque and grab some sleep and get something to eat and things of that nature, and then they can head right back out again. These mosques are not houses of worship. They're jihad centers, okay? And they should be inspected closely inspected on a random basis, okay, by law enforcement in every civilized country. That's just one example, Jeff, of the kind of work that needs to be done, okay? And it is really my hope now that since there is a more conservative government there in the UK, that they begin doing things like that. Do you agree?
Yeah, exactly, Dave. I do agree. I just want to let you know as well, we've got COG has joined us. We haven't seen COG for a little while, but he's saying, hello, guys, and no surrender ever. That's how you know it's COG. Okay, Dave, I thought I'd give you an heads up there, bruv.
All right, yeah, Cog, man. Yeah, good to see you. Good to see you. You know, be sure and drop by next Thursday or this coming Thursday if you can, because we'll have Carmel Melamed, and he'll be talking about so the situation on the ground in Iran, and you'll be getting things from him that you won't be getting from other news sources. This guy is for real, and you'll want to hear about it. Now, Jeff, I don't know if you want to call back in. You've got about 2 minutes before you hit your bingo point there. It's about 18 after the hour. All right?
Yeah.
You think you want to call in?
Yeah, give me a second. All right.
All right. Well, Jeff's going to call back in, and I just want to let you guys know, while Jeff is calling back in, that this program is associated with the SHR Media Network, and through that, you can hear about 30-ish minute versions of this program on my own show page, and that's The Unpleasant Blind Guy. Just go to Spreaker.com, and you can hear the shows at The Unpleasant Blind Guy page there. Just search for The Unpleasant Blind Guy. You'll hear shows like this in more or less manageable 30-minute bites, and you will also hear the occasional Unpleasant Blind Guy show that I just do on my own. Okay, now my normal times to podcast from there are 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday in the United States, and that's 6 p.m. in the UK, and 12 a.m. Eastern in the United States on Saturday, and that would be 5 a.m. on Saturday in the UK. So please go there and check that out. You'll be able to hear shows right now that are running that are a little bit past, but that's good because that way you won't miss anything. And for people listening at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com right now, you'll be listening in the first week in February. This program, the English Defense League Radio Show, podcasts live at 8:30 p.m. in the UK and at 3:30 p.m. in the United States on Thursdays and Sundays. So please come and join us and hop in the chat room like Joss and Cog have. Jeff, welcome back.
And thank you, Dave. I want to do a bit of a thing for Joss. What he's doing is he's moving his show from Saturdays, which he normally has a pretty awesome show Saturdays, to Friday. So I thought I'd give you a bit of an heads up there, Dave. We just found out about it today. It just makes things easier for Aria, you know, Aria Bow, for the Sunday show, because a lot of us are up listening to Joss at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and we don't get up till about half, nearly midday. So I think Joss and Aria's had a little chat about things and decided that it'd be easier. I think he's going to do things, going to change things from Tuesday to Thursdays, isn't you, Joss? And you got Thursday and Friday shows. But next week, it'll be Friday. He's starting off next week, Friday. So there you go, Dave. A bit of an heads up for listeners out there. And anybody that hasn't listened to Joss or Rhea, a Sunday Long Live Radio show or WBR, Joss, put your info in the chat here, mate, and for other people, because it's awesome. It just plays some awesome music, Dave. Awesome music. He does some great things on his show. He's getting better and better and better. And he's only been around a little while, but he's awesome. There you go, Joss. Big boost for you, brother. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Joss, go ahead and put your show times and everything in, and where people can find you and things of that nature. And Jeff, if you want to make note of that, and you can refer back to it later, and we'll let people know about the show times as well and things of that nature. And we don't have we try not to have a lot of ego here on this show, and we'll definitely share out information about other conservative talk shows that we know of, because really the fake stream media, even Fox, often is no longer a place where you can go and trust anything. So we want to give people media alternatives that they can go to. And that also, by the way, includes the Exceptional Conservative Network. And we're going to be working with Kenneth McClinton to see if we can't get on the Exceptional Conservative Network on Sundays at our regular podcast time, but on video.
And that
will actually
TV as well. Is that to do with the TV as well, Dave? Something like that Ken does as well. He's got the TV networking and all that. Is that right, Dave?
Yeah, Jeff. Yeah, I was about to say that. Yes.
I'm sorry, but what am I like? I'm preempting you tonight, mate. What am I like? Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, as I was going to say, you'll also be able to see video. And sadly, the one you'll be able to see on video is not Jeff, but it'll be myself. So it'll be nice to do if one of your family gets the hiccups. You can turn it on and scare them, you know, maybe scare the hiccups out of them. But yeah, we're going to work on that. So it's onward and upward. And yeah, so we're just going to move on now. Jeff, did Joss put his show times and things in the chat?
Yes, he has. He's put it in the chat there. It's https dot whatever that is, colon // dlive.tv /WTFR. Should I read that out again, Dave? Or did you get that, mate?
I think we've got it, Jeff. Does he have a show time there?
Yeah, Showtime. What is it, Joss? I think it's 9 till late, put it that way. 9 till late. I think he does a part of the show. I think it's going to start for next week, where it'll be live, and I mean, there'll be all bells ringing. You know, you've got news bulletins at a certain time, this, that, and the other. So it's all full whistle and steam ahead, like, you know. But it's looking good. It's looking good. And I think that's from 9 o'clock. And I think that'll be from next Friday, Dave. Tuesdays is 9 o'clock to probably, you know, midnight or something like that. So there you go. I filled it in right there, just for your brother. And I'll just let you know, COG said, it said it's so good to hear us. And he said, I work so much, rare to get on live. I think if you blokes off the, and God bless you, COG, you're always in our thoughts and prayers, mate. Always good to see you, when you can drop by. And I hope you're well. And, of course, Happy New Year, brother. There you go, Dave. That's me said, didn't it?
Right, and that's, that, of course, that 9 that Jeff's referring to evidently is 9 p.m. So, guys, do give that a tune in there. And now, Jeff, that's 9 p.m. in the U.K., is that correct?
That's correct, yes. He put it down here. Let's see. He goes, it's got 10 p.m. CET, 4 p.m. Eastern Central Time. I think that's it. Oh, that's Tuesdays. Tuesdays, that is 10 p.m. CET, Dave, and 4 p.m. Eastern Central Time. So there you go. So I
right.
think I was
that,
a little
that would
bit
be...
off.
Right, that would be 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, yes. Okay, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make that clear for our American listeners, guys.
yeah.
If you tune in there at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you ain't going to hear nothing. Well, you're not going to hear Joss anyway. So that would be 4 p.m., which is fine because neither of his podcast days conflict with us. So, you know, I'm good with it. So anyway,
yeah.
guys, we're going to move on here just a little bit. What we have going now the Australian brush fires.
Oh,
right,
sorry,
we've been,
Dave. Fungal bites joined us as well. I meant to say that, but I was trying to fill out. God, sorry about that. And we were just going to go and talk about the bushfires. But hi, Paul. Good to see you. So sorry, Dave. Just wanted to mention Paul. So it's getting quite busy in here, Dave.
Yes, it is. Hello, Vorp. Now, the speculation about the Australian brush fires that have been going on, this has touched much of the rest of the world. I know that Hillary Clinton was talking about how it was global warming, and idiots at the Golden Globes Awards were talking about how it was global warming. Well, we're finding out more and more that it's not about that. There have been people arrested now who are part of the quote-unquote green movement. So they think they're going to just create a global warming crisis by faking one, which I really think is disgusting in and of itself. But there's another element, Jeff, that you mentioned, and I found not one but two stories, one of which was given to us given to me by BZ himself, one of our SHR Media Network heads, and this one, guys, if you want to go looking for it, comes from hstoday.us. Now I've never heard of this, okay, but this is also backed up other places, all right, and it's an interesting bit of information to have, all right. ISIS claims escalating use of wildfire arson as terror tactic. All right, and now this is significant because it was dated. Now remember, these Australian brush fires have been going on since September of last year. This story here is dated May the 28th of last year. All right, now I'll read just a bit of this, okay? But just remember that date. long promoting the use of arson, both of occupied structures and of tender dry wild lands, as a cheap terror tactic that requires little skill but can inflict immense fear and harm, ISIS claims the terror group is behind a series of wildfires in Iraq and Syria. Okay? In the group's official weekly newspaper, Al Naba, ISIS said the targets were, quote, apostates, end quote. Remember what I said earlier, guys, about Iran and the fact that they'll make war even on other Mohammedans, whose, quote, hearts have long been burned, end quote, and vowed the blazes are, quote, just the beginning, end quote. Now, that is really the money shot from that particular article, guys, that they say that's just the beginning. So, Jeff, of course. Yeah, I mean, it's the very definition of terrorism. You create terror, and this is just another technique, and it's a way they can create terror. It's a way they can destroy lives and property and things of that nature. Kill animals, force countries to devote emergency resources to fight these fires and things of that nature. Again, this is what some of these, now some people call them lone wolves. I usually don't bother with that mess because they may be lone wolves, but they all have Islamic fleas. These quote unquote lone wolf ISIS adherents are doing, again, all over the planet.
Yeah.
And and it's very likely that they had something to do with some of these Australian brush fires. Okay, now the next story that I have that is significant as well comes from the New York Post. All right, so you guys want to go looking for it, that's where it is. ISIS urges followers to, quote, ignite fires, end quote, in forests across U.S. and Europe. Now, that story came out on November the 6th of last year. Remember, the Australian brush fires began in September of last year. Okay? This story came out in November. All right? Now, to me, that really is significant. If they're encouraging the setting of fires in the states, which they've done before, and in Europe, all right? It's not a real stretch of the imagination to believe that they might be responsible for setting some of the Australian brush fires. But one of the things that I think we have to deal with, Jeff, is going to be the fact that the Australian government is not going to be quick off the mark to take this on and admit that this form of terrorism is going on, because it might bollocks up their efforts to bring in quote unquote refugees and migrants and things of that nature. Heck, it was announced last night that we're going to be bringing in more quote unquote refugees right here in the United States, guys, to my own state of Vermont. Yippee!
Oh my God, Dave, yeah. Right on your doorstep, brother. Oh,
oh yeah.
Man, I feel for you. Oh,
I know, man.
God, man.
I know. Yeah. Well,
sorry to hear that, brother. Like... Sorry to hear that, mate.
Yeah. Hey, you
Has
know.
Has Bernie got any living around his? Dave, because you can have a normal living around his.
No. You know, Bernie's houses. He has more than one. Are well away from
us. No,
they're going to be moving. They're going to be moving into my neighborhood. You know, I mean, I've got just.
Oh
some,
no,
just
man! Really? You're joking,
yeah, just
Dave.
Into this.
Really? Oh
yeah,
man!
Yeah, man. That's the way it happens. The rich, they never move in on the rich. All right, but they'll sure bring them in. Now, this is something else that I read, which is very interesting. out of the Burlington Free Press. Now, you want to read this story, guys, go to the Burlington Free Press website and search for refugees, and this story will pop up about the reasoning behind bringing the quote-unquote refugees into the state of Vermont. And what they said was that they were being brought in because the demographic, the people of Vermont are getting older, and they wanted to bring some younger people in. So instead of encouraging people to get married and create families and, you know, just have a whole lot of fun making kids, all right, their solution is the same as Angela Merkel's solution was, and still is indeed in Germany. Yeah, let's bring in Somali Muslims. Give us all of them, and let's bring in some Congolese too. Let's bring them in.
Mix it up, mate. Gotta mix it up.
Oh yeah, right. Because they contribute so much to our culture. Now, I gotta say, I've got nothing against somebody of another skin color, but when you bring someone in, when you bring someone in who, like the Somali Muslims, who have no intention of assimilating to the United States of America, then you're gonna have a problem. When you bring someone in like the Congolese, who I can tell you from experience, who seem to live in filth. Now, people are going to get angry about that. Look, you can get as angry as you want to. I have photographic evidence of this. All right? It took something in the neighborhood of 6 to 8 months living next door to some of these Congolese who were brought in, working with the landlord, just to try and get them to get their trash out of the way of people's walkway areas so they could just get out of their apartments. Okay?
That was their that's how they normally exist, in the rubbish, and they died. Probably took offense to that, wanting to move their rubbish. This is homely things for them, isn't it? Dave, you know, I'm sorry, but it's true, isn't it? That's the way they look at it. To them, it's this is precious things. But to anybody else, common sense people, it's rubbish.
Exactly. And this is what happens when you try to force a change in population and things of that nature. And of course, they lied in the article and said that these people have contributed a lot to the state of Vermont. They really haven't, as far as I can tell. They've certainly contributed a lot to the population in the welfare office. You know, they've done that. But this is what I'm talking about when I say that we all, as patriots, have to keep on working and keep on plugging to defend our own cultures, and that includes, by the way, the nation of Australia. That includes the nation of Australia, okay, because they've been importing, quote-unquote, refugees there. And what have they had? I've seen story after story of vacationers down in Australia, because you know how much Australians love the beach, right? Seen story after story of these gangs of, quote-unquote, refugees, running up on people, beating them up, stealing from them, raping women, things of that nature. And has the Australian government said, you know what, it's time to send these people back? No, absolutely not. Bring more in. Yeah, that's the solution.
It's just madness, Dave. We've said this for years. Total madness. Can't understand it. Invite the squalor in. And you, before you know it, you've got all sorts of problems, and that's what we see across our nations. Dave, I'd like to, just before we continue, there's a few comments from some of the gentlemen here.
Go ahead.
COG saying, Alaska government has agreed to take more also. Not much in the news here. That's what COG said. I say just, we think freely. One rule for us mere mortals, another rule for the agenda fascists, Will said just. And Vulpa Blight says, COG, if you stay in Alaska the full year, are they going to get a check like legal citizens do? And he also goes on to say, flies stink rats. Now, I think that's where you're talking about the Congolese, Dave. And then you don't want to be facetious, but it's true because they, as you said, they come from dire situations, and they come into a, you know, give them a home or something like that. They don't know how to conduct themselves. They've had to be re-educated how to live. Am I right, Dave? I mean, that's it. What do you do?
Look, well, yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, I mean, but look, you know, I mean, it's a little bit difficult to be tolerant of someone when you're having to either step over their garbage just to be able to go down to the mailbox, or you're being blocked. You're being completely blocked in by various articles, stolen bicycles, junk, garbage, and other things that have been brought up by these people. So yeah, that's another thing. But Jeff, run into something a little bit different here. This is more topical, and I'm going to say this right now to my American brothers and sisters, because a lot of you guys are going to want to tune out at this point. There's a reason that we're bringing this up. And it's because the left ruins everything, okay? This is the example we're trying to make here, okay? A lot of people in the United States, we don't have royals. We don't have kings and queens and all that. And honestly, it's just kind of a sideshow to us. Certainly, there's a lot of respect in our country for Queen Elizabeth herself, because she has long been a representative of the people of the United Kingdom. We know President Reagan respected her a great deal, and for a lot of us, that's all we need to know. But we don't really, as I said, Jeff, we really just kind of look at the rest of the royals. It's like, okay, this is what people do in the UK. All right, but the situation that's come up now with some of the royals is a great example of how the left will, you know, ruins everything. Everything they touch, okay? Now, what we're talking about here is the you guys can see this in the chat. I put a picture of Prince Harry and I think it's Meghan Markle or something like that. In the slide and Harry saying, "You know, spare a fiver, mate." Jeff liked that. What's up? But this story here comes from yesterday. Okay, that's when it was last modified from the Daily Mail. All right, and here you go. Queen will hold crisis family summit with princess. Oh, princes. Okay, not princess, but princes, as in plural. Harry, William, and Charles on Monday. To resolve I'm just going to spell this. M-E-G-X-I-T after setting 72-hour deadline as she is seen in public second day running following her grandson's bombshell. Now, following her grandson's bombshell announcement, and basically what that means, guys, especially in the States, because you don't follow this stuff, is that Prince Harry has decided, with his wife Meghan's help, that they just don't want to do royal stuff anymore. They don't want to do royal duties anymore. They're just kind of sick of it. And let me read the bullet points off this here. Okay, the Duke of Sussex, that's Harry, is set for showdown talks with his father, Prince Charles, and his grandmother, the Queen. Harry is in no rush to strike a deal, as he is determined, dig this, guys, to secure the best possible financial terms for his family. All right, the next one. But Her Majesty has ordered that their new stripped-back roles to be determined within the next 72 hours. It comes as Buckingham Palace aides forced to deny Meghan and Harry were, quote, driven out, end quote, of the royal family. All right, and now here's the thing. This is the reason why I'm even bringing this up and why Jeff and I are even discussing this. That both Meghan, Merkel, or whatever, and Harry are big lefties. All right. For the most part, the rest of the royal family have been conservatives. President Trump has met the Queen, and so, of course, President Reagan did. And it was, and you could tell that they got along very well. Certainly, Jeff, you can comment on that. But again, all it takes is for a lefty to come in and wipe out what is basically the chief ambassadorial family for the United Kingdom to tear it apart. Now, Jeff, what are your feelings about this so far?
Well, I think Hillary Clinton would be really well pleased that Meghan's done such a sterling job with messing up our monarchy, Dave. There you go. That's my thinking of it. And to me, Meghan's always been a lefty. And don't forget, when your president come over from the United States, her and Harry refused to meet him. So that says a lot in itself. You know, being lefties, they wouldn't want to meet him, would they? Do you know what I mean, Dave? But no. The thing that gets me more than anything is something that William said. He said in a statement, I used to put my arm around Harry when things was a bit for me, and I put my arm around and say, Bill, what? He said, I can't do that now. That is very moving. That is a family thing that has been torn apart. And who would I blame for it? Of course I blame Meghan. David, I don't do it. I've got to blame her. It's Meghan. She broke her own family up, and she wants to do exactly the same to Harry and his family. And it's and what that has done to the Queen. They've hurt the Queen. She said that. She feels hurt. So it's disgusting. I think it's, why would you like to go that far? Well, you're proving the point. Meghan trying to think that she's better than the Queen and blah, blah. I don't know. I don't know. It's just, to me, it's being disrespectful, Dave. That's all I'm going to sum it up by. Totally disrespectful to the Queen.
Well, there you go, Jeff. You know, I mean, I agree with you, man. It is about disrespect. And, hey, you know, you brought up something I think is very fascinating. It's about breaking up the family. That's something that the left in both of our countries is trying hard to do. They're trying to break up the family unit, okay? And if they can break up a family like you know, the royals, okay, in the UK, then that's a big win for them. Now, there's more to this, Jeff. As you know, I've talked about this, and it's also been in the Daily Mail. The talk is that in this meeting, what Harry and you know, Meghan, who's going to be calling in from Canada, by the way, she can't even be bothered to be in the UK
right now.
Yeah,
she's not going to be by her husband, is she?
Yeah.
She's over in Canada.
Yeah.
Let her husband take the full stick. Ted,
That's
just unacceptable, Dave. It's pathetic as well. Go ahead, mate. Sorry.
Well, again, what's going to happen at this meeting, the talk is, that basically, Harry is going to say, okay, if you guys don't give us a lot of money for doing nothing, and that's basically what it is. You know, they're not even going around doing the meet and greet and representing the people of the United Kingdom. They just want to, I don't know, like lay around and go to clubs or whatever, okay? If you don't give us a lot of money, we're going to go on, you know, we're going to do, you know, a quote-unquote tell-all interview and say that the royal family are a bunch of racists and sexists and thisists and thatists and thisophobes and thatophobes and all this other stuff. In other words, he's going to lie on them. What we really don't have any idea what's in these people's minds. But this sounds to me, Jeff, like straight-up blackmail. How do you think?
Oh, well, Dave, I think you're so bang on it, mate. Well, exposes. We've all heard that they've got something up. So don't forget, Meghan's ready to do a Disney thing. She's doing a voiceover. You know, she's got deals lined up left, right and centre. I mean, it's one big con, and Meghan is ruling it. And Harry's going along, Harry, you better watch yourself. You'll be in that bloody tower, son. You'll be in that tower. You think you're getting away that easy? God, Dave.
Well, he'll be in something. He'll be in something, but I doubt if it's going to be the tower, man. I think he's just going to be in big heartache because you know, again, they're lefties. When Meghan Merkel or whatever again is done with Harry, she'll just dump him. She'll just dump him, and he'll become a comic opera ex royal like. So many other...
Edward's a clown.
Well, you know, I never thought of him that way, but, you know, hey, that's another thing for another day. I mean,
oh, he was.
You know...
In my eyes, he's always been a clown. And not a very good one at that.
Well, anyway, Jeff, the point is, that, you know, this actually reminds me, okay, American football fans, this reminds me of Colin Kaepernick kicking off with all this nonsense that he's been talking about, ruining the NFL, all right, to a point where a lot of people stopped watching it for years. I just began watching him again. And how did that come about? He got this Mohammedan girlfriend, okay, and she began filling his head full of all this lefty black liberation theology / Islamic BS, and he starts to go off and he ruins the entire National Football League with his garbage. And that's what this reminds me of.
Is that what's behind it? A Muslima? Oh yeah, that's the first news that I've found about that. I know. Now why it falls in place, Dave. Thank you for that. I thought there was something behind it, Dave. Thanks for enlightening the listeners and everybody, because everybody's probably thinking, what's going on with this guy? Do you know what I mean?
Well, American sports fans and anyone who's been following the whole Colin Kaepernick story do know about it, okay? But this whole thing with Meghan and Harry reminds me of this, okay? When the left and you know, again, when Mohammedans get hold of anything, they absolutely ruin it. And sadly, this has happened to a family who was led by a woman that I respect, at least as a representative of the people of the United Kingdom. But Jeff, we've got about 7 minutes left in the show, man.
Yeah, I know. It's gone so quick. As I say, we've just been blessed tonight to have a good few people join us tonight. We think freely.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's our very own Joss. He's got an absolutely fantastic radio show on Thursday or Tuesdays and Thursdays. We've got our very own COG, who we haven't seen for a little while. And I know he's been working very hard on that. And God bless you, COG. Always good to see you. Got our very own vocal bite. It's always good to see our vocal, isn't it? So there you go. It's good to see some of our good friends joined us in the chat this evening. Cheers, guys. But, Dave, so what are you doing for the rest of the week, Dave? We'd like to share with the listeners where they can find you, mate.
All right. Well, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. And, of course, you got my show times earlier. That's 1 p.m. Monday through Friday Eastern in the United States. That's 6 p.m. in the U.K. Monday through Friday. And on Saturdays at midnight Eastern in the United States, and at 5 a.m. in the U.K. on a Saturday. Yeah, please go there and check out the programs. Really appreciate it. And I just want to say to the foot soldiers, angels, and the Brexiteers, yeah, it's almost time, guys. It's almost time. And all the freedom fighters out there around the world, be prosperous, be blessed, and no surrender ever. Jeff, back to you, my brother.
No surrender ever. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, as I say, it's been good to see a few people join us tonight in the chat room, and I know there's people listening on other devices. Thank you, guys. We really do appreciate it. We always love seeing people turn up in our chat. So same as yourself, COG. Been a little while, but it's good to see you back, brother. And I hope you well. I hope you had a great Christmas and a great New Year. I'll join. Hey, Dave. I just brought the New Year in on his show. He got rather, had a few bits. I'll tell you what, it was brilliant. One of the best shows, Dave. It was classic. So, Josh, you did well, brother. It gets better and better. But, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back again this Thursday, and we've got an awesome gentleman. He's been on the show before talking about the situation in Iran. So I'm really looking forward to welcoming back this gentleman. And he'll be back with us this Thursday, Dave. That's right, yeah? That's fine. That's gone on me. We'll be coming back this Thursday. So I'd like to thank everybody for being here this evening, and we'll see you again this Thursday. So with that, no surrender. And of course, we're going underground now, guys. So we'll see you. We'll see you later. You take care. God bless you. And no surrender ever. With that, we're going underground. Well, there you go. Once again, we've come to the end of our live broadcast, but we'll be back again this Thursday. So once again, thank you for joining us this evening. The guys in the chat room and wherever you might be around, well, thank you very much. We really do appreciate you. If there wasn't you, it wouldn't be us. So anyway, from myself and Dave and the team, this is the English Defence League radio show, and we're signing off for tonight. Take care, be safe, and be vigilant. Okay, guys, please be safe, be vigilant. See you Thursday. Bye-bye.